worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Verses 1 through 22, Psalm 103, all of Psalm 103. And then looking in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for how that your word teaches us and empowers us to live a life of thanksgiving, praise, and prayer. Father, more and more, teach us to pray. More and more, empower us to be the people who live lives given to prayer. Empower us to be the prayer force in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that you've called us to be. And help us to recognize, Lord, that as we live a lifestyle of prayer, that we will get things done. We will get things done in your time and in your way by your kingdom. Make us more and more able and fruitful vessels in your hands, living day by day, moment by moment for your glory. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson, and he's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we have great confidence that you have brought together a group of listeners to hear this program today, to hear your word read, to hear what you've put on Joseph's heart. Father, we have confidence that you will open up ears and hearts to what is said today, that our listeners will grasp what you want them to hear from this program and take it and run with it in a mighty way, that they would live out the Christian life in a way that brings you much honor and much glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're reminding you that, as we've mentioned on yesterday as well, because of the coronavirus pandemic, we've postponed our spring share-a-thon. It was originally scheduled for this week, and the new dates for our spring share-a-thon are May the 19th through the 21st. So please take time to pray with us for the Lord to bless it and to use it mightily for the building of his kingdom and to bless the people of God. Again, the new dates for our spring share-a-thon are May 19th through the 21st. But in place of our share-a-thon this week, we're having a week-long focus on prayer. If you have prayer requests you'd like to email to us, please do send them to prayer prayer@afr.net. Again, that's prayer@afr.net. It would be our privilege and honor to be able to pray with you and pray for you. So simply send those prayer requests to prayer@afr.net. Hope that you'll take time to do that. On yesterday, we looked at the topic, Call to Live a Life of Praise, Thanksgiving, and Prayer. And of course, that was basically part one. And we're continuing with part two of that as we continue to look at this same important topic. Every believer is called to live a life of praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. And, you know, just as a nation raises up an air force, God desires to raise up a prayer force, a people who live lives given to prayer, a people whom God can accomplish great and mighty things as we learn to make prayer the priority God has called us to make it. Remember, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And so we're wise to live lives where we spend significant times in prayer every single day. In fact, I would challenge every listener to pray and ask God to help you to begin to spend at least an hour in prayer every single day. You know, now for many, that's a tall order. And for some, you might think, well, I just need, I'm not sure I'll manage to do an hour, but maybe a shorter period of time. Well, for some, maybe you start off with at least 15 minutes. But give time to prayer, and once you get up to 15 for a period of time, make it 20 and make it 30 and eventually move it up to an hour. But the fact is, remember, time spent in prayer, biblical prayer, is never wasted time. In fact, it's some of the most productive time of our entire day. A time set aside to pray. But now, of course, we need to pray that the Lord will also teach us and empower us to live a lifestyle of prayer beyond that. Now, of course, having a time set aside for prayer, whether it's 30 minutes or an hour, that's very important. That's good. But in addition to that, we're called to live a lifestyle where we live in a prayer mode all the time, where we're continually seeking to both talk to God and listen to God through our thanksgiving, through our praise, through our requests, our conversation with the Lord as well. And remember, the Holy Spirit, He is our divine tutor. He teaches us and empowers us to do this. And so we're wise to pray that God would help us to do that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed gift of the Holy Spirit, who is our divine tutor, our divine empower, who guides and counsels us and teaches us and empowers us to be people given to prayer. Lord, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to learn to be people who are doing just that more and more, living a life fully given to prayer. Empower us, Lord, daily to more and more move fully into that as you would have us to. We thank you and praise you for that privilege. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking specifically at the topic, Call to Live a Life of Praise, Thanksgiving, and Prayer. And this is part two as we looked at the same topic on yesterday. Now, keep in mind, when we pray, we're to pray with hope. And now the fact is, sometimes people make the big mistake of they fail to really understand what hope really means. You know, sometimes people may have the attitude of, well, I prayed and I'm just hoping and praying God will answer. No, that's not the word. That's not the real meaning of the Bible meaning of hope. Hope is not just a slight desire or just desire that God will hear. Hope is divine expectation that God will hear and answer our prayer. So in other words, when you pray, you're expecting the answer. You're not just slightly kind of wishing that it'll happen. Once you've prayed, you are expecting God to bring the answer to that prayer. So praying with divine expectation is very important. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do just that. So as we're looking at our topic, we're encouraging and challenging you to seek to pray and seek God that way. You know, Psalm 103 that we read a few moments ago is a powerful psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving and praise, and a reminder of the blessings and the benefits of being believers who live lives given to prayer. Now, keep in mind, as we pointed out yesterday, the Bible clearly points us out. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to be a people full of gratitude, thanks, and prayer. Remember this, now, a lifestyle of praise, prayer, and thanksgiving is not just a nice way to live. Remember, a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving is a battle strategy for life. Learn to thank God in all circumstances, no matter what you're going through. You know, when you go through difficulty or when storms come or problems come, the the human tendency, the tendency we have in our flesh is to complain or feel bad or get upset when trouble comes, when storms come, when difficulties come. But God's wisdom, God's grace, and God's strategy is, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why is that important? Because thanksgiving and praise, when we react that way to difficulty and in the midst of difficulty and storms, it's more or less a way of saying, Lord, I thank you and I praise you that you're bringing about victory in spite of the way things look. You're working this out for my good, even though things may look bad. And remember, praise and thanksgiving in the midst of difficulty is a powerful battle strategy, because God is at work. He is doing something. And praise and thanksgiving allows the Spirit of God to fully move forward to do what God desires to do in that circumstance. So as the Word tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank and praise Him in the midst of the most difficult and troubled of circumstances, because it stirs up your joy and it allows us to focus on what God has and is doing rather than focusing on the problem. Remember, complaining is not a neutral activity. Complaining, whatever you complain about, it's like cursing that thing. To complain about something is to invite the devil into that situation to do even more than he's already done. But thanksgiving and praise invites the Holy Spirit into a circumstance, into a situation, into what you're facing. So our challenge and encouragement to you is make it your goal to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving, praise, and honor the Lord, because God will use it wonderfully and mightily in a way that will glorify, please, and honor the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 4 tells us, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalm 107 verses 8 and 9 tells us, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 tells us, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 16 through 18 tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, wonderful counsel for all situations, for all circumstances, for all challenges. Thanking and praising God no matter what you see is so important for us to do as believers. We're called to a lifestyle of doing just that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, it says, surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because when farmers plow and thresh, they should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And then Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we shall reap a harvest if we do not give up. Father, thank you for your word that teaches our hands to war. Thank you for your word which teaches and counsels us to live a lifestyle of praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word which models before us lives and individuals who learn how to live lives given to prayer. Father, with every passing day, more and more help us to recognize the great wisdom, the great grace, the great mercy that is on the life of a person who lives a life full of thanksgiving, praise, and prayer. And more help us to both live that way and help us as parents to be wise enough to teach and train and guide our children to do the same. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic, Call to Live a Lifestyle of Praise, Thanksgiving, and Prayer. Part 2, we'll be right back.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us, oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us, oh. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how
of David Crowder, How He Loves. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, it's a privilege and an honor and a blessing to have you listening in. Once again, we want to remind you that we're having a week-long focus on prayer. And if you have a prayer request, you can email it to us at prayer@afr.net. Again, that's at prayer@afr.net. It would be an honor and a privilege and a blessing for us to be able to pray for you and pray with you. Once again, prayer@afr.net. Send those our way. And we're looking at the topic of Call to Live a Life of Praise, Thanksgiving, Prayer, Part 2 on today. And as we are, again, focusing on this topic, keep in mind we're encouraging you to pray. We'd like to encourage you to pray for God to bless and prosper your prayer life. Remember, all of us can use help, strength, and encouragement in prayer. And the fact is, we're all called to live a lifestyle of prayer. And so I would encourage you to make it an important goal in your life. The Word of God tells us, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And also, in the book of Mark chapter 11, verse 17, it says, then he taught them, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. God very much has commissioned the church to be a people given to prayer. Prayer is to be a major part of who we are and what we, and the lifestyle that we live. Listen to that again, Mark 11, verse 17. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house should be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" The people of God, we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the house of God, and we're called to be a people of prayer, and we're called to be a house of prayer as well. So it's critical that we as believers seek to live and seek to be a people who live with lifestyles given to prayer. Again, as I mentioned before, like a nation raises up an air force, God desires to raise up a great prayer force as well. Now, in view of the fact that most all of us have a great and desire to live a life of prayer, why don't God's people pray more? Why don't people make prayer a bigger priority in view of the fact that many of us know that prayer is very important? Also, many of us have heard some and maybe tremendous testimonies of people who'd had answers to prayer. Considering these realities, why aren't we more committed to giving more time and devotion to prayer? Well, that's an excellent question, and it's powerful to consider the reasons why it's just not been the case. Well, I believe one of the key reasons is the following. The battling by the kingdom of darkness against God's people is tremendous. And of all the things the devil comes against in your life individually as a believer and in the life of the church as a whole, of all the things he fights the hardest against, prayer is one of the things he battles against most intensely. And keep in mind, you might ask, well, why would that be? Well, of all the things that the devil and his demonic hosts come against, prayer is one of the biggest. Why? Well, because remember this, faithful prayer on the part of God's people in the church is one of the most dangerous and effective weapons against the kingdom of darkness. And the devil realizes that prayer destroys the kingdom of darkness. It tears the kingdom of darkness and its influence and what it's able to do. It tears it down. It stops it in its tracks. It destroys its foundation. And so when God's people faithfully pray, it shuts down the work of the kingdom of darkness. It tears down the walls and the strongholds and the fortresses of the kingdom of darkness daily as God's people faithfully and diligently pray for the work of the kingdom of God. So from a strategy standpoint, if the devil can stop prayer and stop God's people from praying, then he's accomplished a tremendous reality. And so stopping prayer is a top priority for the kingdom of darkness. So if you wonder why it seems like it's easy to do so many other things than pray, that's one of the main reasons. Again, of all the things you do, for example, when a believer sits down to watch TV and watch something that's not even worthwhile watching, well, the devil will sit down and watch it with you. But on the other hand, when you get ready to pray and go to your prayer closet or spend time in prayer, the devil may literally cause a dozen or more demons to come to try to distract you, to discourage you, to help you to become sleepy or do whatever he can to stop you, because he wants to shut down the prayer life, the praise and thanksgiving and the worship lives of God's people. So if you wonder why it seems like it's tougher to pray, this is a reality you need to be aware of. God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, again, it says, "Pray without ceasing." Well, again, we're wise to pray for the Lord to help us, because remember, the devil will battle against your prayer life all your life long. So be mindful of that's just a battle that we have to deal with. But with God's help, we can be victorious. So pray daily for your prayer life. Lord, thank you for the prayer life of each and every one of us, every believer listening at this point in time on the broadcast. Lord, anoint each of our prayer lives with a mighty, mighty, and fresh and mighty anointing in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bless each of our prayer lives indeed. Expand each of their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we're encouraging you again to live a life of prayer, thanksgiving, and prayer. And our topic today specifically is called to live a life of praise, thanksgiving, and prayer as well. We're wanting you to be mindful, too, that we're encouraging you to send us your prayer requests this week if you have them. Email us at prayer@afr.net. Again, that's prayer@afr.net. It would be a blessing for us to be able to pray for you and with you as well. I'm reminded of the fact that there's a great figure in the history of our nation. It was a gentleman by the name of Dr. George Washington Carver. He was a great, great man of prayer. And he was a well-known scientist who was born a slave, and he's been credited with saving the agriculture of the South. He's a great example of a believer who listened to God in prayer and communed with God in prayer. And he's a great example of a believer who followed and applied God's wisdom in the area of living a life full of prayer. He had the habit of getting up, rising up early every day, and he'd go out into the woods and he'd sit before the Lord in prayer, and he called God Mr. Creator. There in the woods with the Lord, Dr. Carver learned secrets that bless the whole world. There's a book entitled The Man Who Talks with the Flowers by Glenn Park. In that book, Dr. Carver stated, "There's literally nothing that I ever wanted to do that I asked the blessed Creator to help me to do that I have not been able to accomplish. It's all very simple if one knows how to talk with the Creator. It is simply seeking the Lord and finding Him. All my life, I have risen regularly at 4 o'clock and have gone into the woods and talked with God. There He gives me my orders for the day. When people are still asleep, I hear God best and learn my plan. After my morning's talk with God, I go into my laboratory and begin to carry out His wishes for the day." Again, a great example, again, a quote from Dr. George Washington Carver from the book entitled The Man Who Talks with the Flowers by Glenn Park. But Dr. George Washington Carver was a tremendous example of a man who excelled in the field, in his purpose, what he was called by God to do, because he permeated his life with prayer. And that's something any and every believer can do, and we're actually called to do. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to get up early in the morning and spend time praying, talking with you, seeking you, communing, spending time with you, praising and worshiping and thanking you, and seeking your wisdom, your guidance, your grace, your help in time of need. More and more empower us to be wise enough to be a people who live lives who, similarly as Dr. George Washington Carver did, made prayer the priority you want us to make it. In Jesus' name, Lord, we're believing, Lord, to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, call to live a life of praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. And keep in mind, any believer can make prayer the priority that God would have us to. We just need to trust God. We're wise to ask God to help us to do it and to trust Him to do just that as well. I want to share with you a few more scriptures that specifically focus on thanksgiving and praise. And I want to say this too, as we've been sharing on the broadcast, thanksgiving and praise is a battle strategy. The fact is, you can't be too grateful to the Lord. As you give thanks and praise to God, it invites the Spirit of God more and more into your life. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." One of the reasons why that's very important is because, remember, one of the great ways whereby we acknowledge God is by taking time to say, "Thank you, Lord." Just thank Him for big things, little things, and all the in-between things. And you can't thank God too much. But remember, thanksgiving and praise invites the Spirit of God into the details of your life. It invites the Spirit of God to come in to help you in every circumstance, every situation. Hope that you'll take time and trust God to help you to take time to do just that as well. Again, keep in mind, in the book of Psalm 100, once again, it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Sometimes we're wise just to take seasons and times of just thanking and praising God for things that come to your mind. That's not childish. That's not a waste of time, because the fact is, when you thank and praise God for something, amongst other things, it allows the Spirit of God to help make that thing more productive in your life as you thank and praise God for it. Whatever it is, whether it's a person, a thing, or a gift, or a strength, when we thank and praise God for it, it allows the Spirit of God to make that a more productive thing or entity in your life. So thanking and praising God for whatever it might be is a wise thing to do. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for gifts and talents and strengths that you entrust to us. More and more, teach our hands to war. Teach us to glorify you in every area of our lives. Help us to always learn to be thankful and to praise you for our gifts and strengths, and to thank and praise you even in the midst of our challenges, knowing that you're working things out for our good and doing things behind the scenes, sometimes that we may not be, in ways we may not be able to see, but you're always at work. You never sleep. You never slumber. You're always doing something good behind the scenes. Help us to be wise enough to give you thanks and praise and glory and honor for that truth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue to look at the topic, Call to Live a Life of Praise, Thanksgiving, and Prayer. We'll be right back. Music of Mandisa, God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, Call to Live a Life of Praise, Thanksgiving, and Prayer, Part 2. And we're continuing to encourage you to seek to be a person who lives a life given to prayer. And our encouragement to you is pray and ask God to anoint and bless and prosper your prayer life absolutely every single day. Father, thank you once again for the prayer life of every single one of us, and thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to seek you in prayer each and every day. Much more so, Father, bless each and every one of our prayer lives. Indeed, expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. In the name of Jesus, with every passing day, more and more empower us to be the people given to prayer you want us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, it tells us, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. A very important reminder is, I would challenge and encourage every single listener to, on a regular basis, to ask God to help you to walk in love and forgiveness. Keep in mind, this is a serious reality. In the Lord's Prayer, which is a good prayer for you to pray every single day, we're again praying for God to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But if someone who says they love Jesus refuses to forgive, keep in mind, we need to realize what a serious issue that is. Basically, in the Lord's Prayer, when we pray it, it's like we're saying, Lord, don't forgive me because I'm not forgiving someone else. You don't want to pray that. In fact, we should, on a regular basis, I believe, be wise enough to pray a prayer as it relates to and addressing the issue of forgiveness like this one. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to walk in love and forgiveness. Lord, if there's anyone that I'm holding unforgiveness towards, Lord, by faith, I ask you to help me to deal with and address this. By faith, Lord, I forgive any and everyone that's ever done me wrong. I forgive them by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, they're forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. That's important, and I hope you'll take time to do that daily, because the reality is, remember this, unforgiven people don't go to heaven. So it's important that you understand forgiveness is important. And if you want God to forgive you, you and I, we need to forgive others as well. If we want to go to heaven, we need to be a people that walk in love and the forgiveness of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Again, that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. God calls us to ask, seek, and knock. And notice, those key words all begin with the words A-S-K, which themselves, they form the word ask. God is seeking to tell us something very important. He wants us to be a people that ask on a daily basis. Seek him for help. Ask him for what you may need. And as the word says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, it has a powerful and a very important story that has much to teach us about prayer. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as my soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Verses 1 through 28, 1 Samuel chapter 1. A powerful, powerful story found in the Word of God that teaches a number of important life lessons for believers, but especially about the topic of prayer. Hannah was a young wife who, up to a certain point in her life, didn't manage to have any children at all. But she finally decided, after crying over her problem and being upset over it and being aggravated by it by someone else, she finally decided to take her desire to God in prayer. She went to God in prayer and made a vow, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life." Hannah prayed that prayer with expectancy, and God answered her prayer, gave her a son. Well, one of the very important lessons here is that don't be afraid to ask God for big things. Don't be afraid to ask God for big desires in your heart. Remember this, many times the desires in your heart are very much from the Lord to begin with. And one of the ways whereby God often gets his work and will done is by he places desires on the hearts of his children. And as they pray, they birth those desires out. And not only do they receive what they want, God gets what he wants as well. That's why it's so important that we live lives given to prayer, because the fact is, when we don't pray, often we don't get what we want, and God may have to find someone else through which to birth that reality into the world, because that's one of the ways whereby his work and his will gets done in the world. He places desires on the hearts of his children, and as they pray, God's will gets done. And so in that case, everybody wins. Don't be someone who God has to skip over to get his work done. Pray, 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 because God gets his work and his will done that way wonderfully. Through prayer, we birth the will of God time and time again into the world. You might say, well, why does God use prayer to get his work and will done? Well, that's one of those questions you just ask the Lord when you get to heaven. But remember, God works through his people, and he works through prayer as well. Again, keep in mind, my challenge to you is to pray about big things, little things, and all the in-between things. Many times in life, we think we're waiting on God, but many times God is waiting on us. And he's waiting on us to pray and believe him for that answer. And time again, when we do it, watch God answer your prayer and bless you and bless the world through you as well. Remember, when you receive the answer to God, answer to your prayer, time and time again, not only will you be blessed, the whole world will be blessed. Remember, God brought Samuel through Hannah, and God blessed the whole world through Hannah's answered prayer in the life of the great prophet of the Old Testament, Samuel. Keep in mind, again, we want to challenge you. Email us to get some of these prayer tools we provide, the Psalm 91 prayer or several other prayers based on the Word of God or that come from God's Word. My email is jparker@afa.net to get one of the prayer tools entitled Kingdom Prayers. We'd be glad to send it to you. There are other prayer tools we provide as well, but these are prayer tools to help you become a more effective and fruitful person given to prayer. Again, my challenge to you is make it a goal to, if not immediately, eventually to work up to giving yourself, at least giving an hour to the Lord in prayer each and every day. God will use you to accomplish many important things as you seek to do that. You may start off a little less, maybe 15 minutes, then 20, then 30, but make it your goal to spend at least an hour in prayer every day and watch God use that wonderfully. Thank you, Lord, again, for every single listener. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be people who live lives more and more given to prayer as you desire that this come to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Once again, we're inviting you this week to email us at prayer@afr.net to share your prayer requests. If you have prayer requests for yourself or your family you'd like to send, again, that email is prayer@afr.net. It would be our privilege and honor to pray for you and to pray with you. Again, prayer@afr.net. And once again, my email to get some of the prayer tools is jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send it to you. Again, jparker@afa.net. Thanks for listening. As always, it's a privilege to have you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.